I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Monday. His standard Monday appearance is actually on a Monday. It's Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, wherein he is brought in to discuss Atletico's 1-0 win over Inform Eibar at rainy Ipurua in La Liga on Saturday. The kind of gritty, gutty, grind-em-out win that we saw Atletico register many times in the first half of the season. But Atleti actually seemed decent value for this one. Diego Simeone went without four first-team regulars, still managed to pull off a win thanks to a first-half goal from Kevin Gamero. We'll actually have an in-depth discussion about Gamero in the first half of this week's episode. What he's offered to this point in the season, his newfound efficiency in front of goal, and what we can expect from him as the season rolls on with Atleti sustaining challenges in the Copa del Rey, the Europa League, maybe, perhaps, possibly La Liga, but also probably not. We'll find out. Plus, we're going to talk about Lucas Hernandez shutting down Ivi Alejo and becoming mattress maker of the match. Jose Jimenez putting in a fantastic shift at center back, Jan Oblak's sustained awesomeness, and how Diego Simeone sacrificed three substitutes to make sure his team would be fit and rested for Sevilla's visit on Wednesday. That is the first leg of the Copa del Rey quarterfinal at the Wanda Metropolitano. We'll preview that game and then launch into our bonus pod, the rumor roundup you can find on our Patreon page. Speaking of our Patreon page, head over there if you want to support the show, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. You'll get access to the bonus pods and a lot more. So please consider supporting the show and becoming a patron. If you're not so interested in becoming a patron, but you want to help out the show anyway, you can do that in the form of a rating and a review on iTunes to help get more eyes and ears on the program. Either way, you're a very valued member of the Colt Gennaro Chat community. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. Oh, is there really?
Oh, yeah. Absolute ton.
Lovely.
Yes, quite a change.
Yeah, Ohio and Winter Wonderland are not really two phrases, not really two things I equate with each other. But
yeah, well, there you go. It's kind of that way. It's kind of pretty, sort of, until you have to go outside in it.
Yeah, that's the thing with snow. It always looks great until you actually have to do something in it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't know,
do
drive a car.
Trudge up and down.
Like, walk in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I walk everywhere, so that is a problem.
And then it turns to slush?
Oh, that's the worst part. It's still fresh now, so I'll take it, but in a few days it'll probably be terrible again.
Yeah, you're going to love that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, yes. So, we have quite a bit to discuss on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, Rob.
Yes, we do.
We have
many things.
A somewhat jam-packed edition, and also we have our bonus podcast for patrons later. So that is exciting. But before we get into all of that, it's the return of the whip around.
Yay!
I know you've been anticipating this with bated breath.
Oh, I love the whip around.
Now, this was a fun weekend in La Liga. We're halfway through the season, 19 weeks down. Well, just about. Leganés and Betis play on this fine Monday evening. We'll start on Friday, where Malaga lost again, 1-0 to Getafe. And that finally spelled the end for Michel, who was finally relieved of his duties after guiding Malaga to the worst first half of any team that didn't replace their manager in 67 years.
It is amazing how bad they've been. And that he still remained at the job.
Yeah. He wasn't good. The team isn't good. They replaced him with Jose Gonzalez. It's probably not going to make a difference. They're 7 points clear of adrift of safety.
Yeah, I mean, he was last coaching in China. I don't really know what they were thinking with that appointment. There's a lot of pressure on their owner now at this point because he's been doing a stupid ever since they have been gone out of the Champions League time.
Yeah, that was really the point where just imagine if that team had made the semifinal that year like they should have.
It would have been unbelievable. I mean, and, you know, there's a very real chance that they'll be in the Segunda 5 years on from that semifinal.
Yeah, that's...
Or quarterfinal, rather.
It's amazing, but not in a good way.
No. Leeds-ish.
On Saturday, Girona absolutely pumped Las Palmas 6-0, Rob.
Yeah, speaking 6-0. Of terrible teams.
Yeah. 6-0! to a Paco Gemes team.
Jerome would have been awesome.
Yeah, Michael Olunga scoring a hat trick in the second half. The first Kenyan to ever score a hat trick in La Liga. Congrats to him.
Yes, congrats. They've been a fun team to watch.
Came off the bench and did it.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So Girona just continuing their very, very impressive first season up from Segunda. That, talk about a success story. It helps to have Manchester City's money.
Yes, it does.
But, and influence more. Yeah,
I don't know how they would have done on their own, but.
To the Bernabeu. Real Madrid 0, Villarreal 1. Pablo Fornals in the 87th minute with a delicious chip past Keylor Navas to hand Villarreal their first ever win at the Bernabeu and plunge Real Madrid into, I guess we're calling this a crisis now. I guess.
Well, yeah, they have easier crises to get into than most people, but yeah, I mean, they're dangerously close to the Europa zone.
Yeah, a point clear of Villarreal, and they do not have the head-to-head.
Mm-mm.
Yikes.
That is pretty sad. I mean, granted, if you look at the goal difference, you can kind of see what the levels of those teams are, but even still, it's a problem for them.
Yeah, even still, Madrid have won just two of their last six in La Liga. Only one of those was actually really convincing, the 5-0 over Sevilla.
Yeah, and Sevilla haven't looked great either, so.
Oh, we're going to get to them.
Oh, yes, we will.
Yeah, their day in the sun will come. Saturday night, Deport 1, Valencia 2. Another loss for Deportivo, who are now in the relegation zone. Amazing. That's also not a good amazing, despite the talent they have at that team with Lucas Perez, Florin Andone, that strike partnership. They are in the drop zone as they lost to Valencia. A bit unlucky, I thought, in this game. Valencia got a little bit fortunate to see out the result and get 3 points, but there you go.
Yeah, sometimes when things aren't going your way, it's hard to get a little bit of luck.
Yeah, and Deport certainly have none of that. They've lost three of their last four, and it really is remarkable that they have mid-table talent and they're just underachieving to this degree.
It's going to be a big old scrap down there at the bottom of the table, that's for sure.
It really is, with Alaves, Levante, and Deportivo all within 2 points of each other. Las Palmas and Malaga looks like they're going down.
Yeah, seemingly.
On Sunday, Levante lost. Celta Vigo defeated them 1-0. A bit of racism controversy in this one between Iago Aspas and Jefferson Lerma. Lerma claiming that Aspas called him a quote-unquote black shit. Aspas not denying what he said, but also saying Lerma said some things back to him.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. It's never something you want to see in the game. And if they do find out that that's what he said to him, then he'll probably hopefully get it appropriately punished. But yeah. You never know with the Spanish league.
Yeah, just no place for that in the game.
Absolutely not.
You mentioned Sevilla. They lost the
game. Yes.
1-0 to Alaves. 10-man Alaves, I will say. Manu Garcia scoring 7 minutes into the second half to hand Alaves a huge, huge win. That gets them out of the drop zone. With their fourth win in the last six, they're now 2 points clear of the drop. Sevilla are just in a complete free fall, winless in their last five, and this is just about the worst it's been all season for them.
Yeah, it is that their appointment of Vincenzo Montella is not looking good. They had that horrible derby loss, and then now they lose to a bottom feeder sort of club, and yeah, they're struggling at the moment. I don't know how much longer he'll be in that job if it keeps going on like this.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to last the season.
Nah, I don't think so either.
Espanyol and Athletic playing out a 1-1 draw. It was the weekend's only draw, well, to this point. Really boring second half, but two pretty good goals in this one from Gerard Moreno and Iñaki Williams.
Yep, Bilbao haven't been that exciting this year. They've been kind of a boring team to watch, to be honest.
I think they're unbeaten in their last eight, actually.
Pretty good, but they haven't scored that many goals.
Yeah, they're not scoring any goals is the thing.
Yeah, and that is a problem.
Yeah.
Turns out maybe Adoriz is finally failing his age. Hopefully not, but
yeah, I wish that way. They made a play forever. Finally, on Sunday, Real Sociedad 2, Barcelona 4. That's Barca's first league win at Anoeta since 2007. They were behind 2-0, but then roared back to complete the comeback. Really their last big test of the first half. And they passed it with flying colors. So pretty clearly in the driver's seat to win the league title.
Yeah, they have to mess up for anyone else to have a chance, basically.
Barca are top on 51 points with a huge goal difference advantage over everyone else, more than double what Valencia and Atletico have. Atletico are second on 42 points, Valencia third on 40, Real Madrid fourth on 32, that's beautiful to say, Villarreal in fifth on 31, Sevilla sixth on 29. Now, the one result we did not talk about, we'll talk about it now, Eibar nil, Atletico Madrid 1. That is Eibar nil, Atletico 1. We have a question from a patron, Robin. I think this is a pretty good place to start.
Okay.
We got this last week, and maybe he foresaw this goal coming. Maybe he foresaw Gamero scoring the winner coming, but here it is. What's up, fellas? This is from Sporting Guy John. Sporting Guy John.
That's good.
One of our $5 patrons. I'm an Atletico and La Liga junkie who has listened to your podcast for a few months now. I recently became a patron because you both bring interesting perspectives on Atletico that I really haven't found anywhere else. Oh, thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Quick question perhaps to discuss on a future podcast. Could someone, by someone he means us, please have a discussion about Kevin Gamero? I find him infinitely more frustrating than Gaetan or Vieto, and yet there seems to be little talk of him leaving in the January window. Why? Why? He asks again. To his credit, no one beyond Carrasco can seem to match his pace. Equally admirable, no one can muff a one-on-one or kick a ball directly at a goalie's waiting hands in the way that he does, either. Will he ever leave us? Am I wrong for wishing that he would just go away? So naturally, Gamero goes out and scores the only goal of the game this weekend to hand Atletico 3 really important points.
To be fair, it was a pretty difficult chance to mess up. But he didn't somehow.
Yeah, his touch was very, like, deliberate. Really wish he would hit that on the volley, because the longer that touch took, the more time Dimitrovic was going to have to come out and just snag it. But Gamero timed it really well. He timed his finish really well. It was a very nice finish. But let's talk about Kevin.
Well, and the other thing about that goal, as our dear patron mentioned, he did hit it straight at the goalkeeper, or in his general direction, so even though he did score, it was still pretty much directly at the goalie.
Yeah, it was his fourth goal of the season. All of them have been away from the Wanda Metropolitano, interestingly enough.
Which is pretty good.
His second winning goal of the season, the other one, of course, being the goal against Celta back in October in a 1-0 victory. He is one of the most efficient strikers in La Liga this season. I kid you not. That was his fourth goal from 11 shots on target.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
I mean, he is that sort of player because quite frequently he'll have games where he doesn't take a single shot, which is extremely frustrating for, you know, a striker that Atletico paid quite a lot of money for. But yeah, I mean, if you have, I think he's okay as a rotation player, but the problem is the fee that Atletico paid for him sort of makes you think he should be more than that.
Yeah, I mean, the fee is what the fee is. Yeah, Atletico paid nearly $40 million for him, but that's done. That was a year and a half ago. That's done. That's in the past. There's nothing Atleti can do about that. Just like there was nothing they could do when they bought Jackson Martinez. Now, they got lucky because Jorge Mendes bailed them out when they didn't want Jackson anymore. But the fee for Gamero, it is what it is. What he is right now, he's 30 years old now. He doesn't have many years left at the top level, probably 2-3 years maybe. What he is now, I think you're right, an important, you know, I wouldn't say crucially important, but it's nice. It's better to have him around than not have him around. I've been saying this since last summer. Because it seemed clear Atletico were going to bring in Costa since last June, and they did. So Gamero's role was likely going to be impact sub, rotation striker, and he's a really good rotation striker to have. Atleti counted on him week in, week out last year, and they didn't have a great season.
Yep, he's on the upper end of sort of bench-level players. He's sort of that best tier possible if you're going to have a bench player. But
and that's fine. If you want to win things, you need players like that on your bench.
But I completely understand him being a very frustrating player to watch, because he most certainly is. Because, he'll go long stretches of matches without doing much of anything, which, sort of outside of the goal, was kind of the case in this match, too. I mean, that was his only shot.
It usually is with him. He's either going to have no shots, no chances, he'll be off before the hour, or around the hour, or he'll have one or two shots, score a goal, come off in 70, 75 minutes.
and he passed the ball 11 times in that match.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah. It's interesting. He's an interesting player. I don't really know how happy he's going to be being a bench player for much longer. There were rumors earlier that he was going to go to Valencia, but we've already offloaded one of our unwanted strikers onto them. I don't think they want another.
Yes, double agent Vieto
is on. Well, yes, we'll see how long, much longer he's a double agent for if he keeps on scoring hat tricks.
Well, he just had to prove himself to Marcelino. It's all part of the plan. he had to make it appear so he was friendly.
Get in the first team plans and then immediately go about missing chances all over the place.
There you go. That's the plan.
That sounds good to me.
But Gamero, it's definitely interesting. It's definitely a really interesting case study. I still do think he's going to leave, but Simeone seems to be counting on him for the rest of the season. He's brought him up in press conferences as one of the attacking options. And why not? Gamero, he has speed. He has chemistry with Griezmann. He's been here longer than 6 months.
True.
And he does have a decent record. I mean, he's won the Europa League 3 times. Atleti are in the Europa League this year.
That's a good point, yeah. He is a treble-winning Europa League kind of performer. But
he's scored in a final before.
And depending on how seriously Simeone takes the Europa League, he may get a bunch of minutes in that competition.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, against Copenhagen, which is one of the weaker teams in that draw.
I mean, he may get the vast majority of both those legs.
Yeah, I here's how I'll put it. I think Gamero he's not a great player, but he's essential if you want to win things. If you're a big club and you want to win trophies, he is the kind of player you need to have on your bench. He's quality. I mean, I know he scuffs chances. He's missed really, really huge chances before, and it's really aggravating. But in limited minutes, with limited chances, so far this season he's been extremely efficient.
Well, and especially with a squad as thin as Atletico's, you're going to need players like that, because Griezmann will get a knock at some stage, Costa will get a knock at some stage, and you're going to need both him and Torres to be around and play some meaningful minutes. And personally, I would say Gamero has a bigger chance of making an impact than Torres, but I think both of them are kind of good in that role.
Yeah, so no Costa in this game on Saturday. No Gabby, no Savage, no Felipe either, and Atleti still won.
Yeah, and I thought it was actually a pretty good performance. I mean, there were problems, especially towards the end. It got a little hectic, but I think for the most part, the replacements did quite a good job.
Yeah, the first half I thought was really, really good. I think Atleti were very comfortable in the first half. Could have added a second goal, I think. Just played very, very well. The second half was a different story. This was the football we saw a lot in the first half of this season. Really, like, defensive for the sake of being defensive. Eibar had a couple really, really good chances at the end that they just couldn't quite capitalize on it. Letty hung on for the 3 points, but that first half was excellent, and it shows. Let's take a look at the team that played this game. Jose Jimenez stepping in for his first league start since December 2nd, and I thought this was an extremely composed, mature performance. He's really grown up, I think. This is just the latest.
Yeah, he was excellent, I thought.
He's grown up, despite not having nailed down a regular place in the team yet.
Yeah, and I think alongside Godin, the two of them looked very, very good as a partnership as well. And I mean, I think Jimenez, he dominated that right side of the defense, where for Salico, if he was more forward up the field or whatever, he could step in and make the tackle. And as we've done, he's a decent technical player, Jose Jimenez. I mean, he's not just a lump sort of in the Stefan Savage mold, so he can actually do some things if you need him to do it.
This was the kind of game that suited him, though. It was just, I wrote this in my in player ratings, the pissing rain, lots and lots of crosses, really physical, really gritty. This is the kind of game that suits Jose Jimenez. And I thought he was masterful.
Probably he is not afraid to hoof the ball, which Diego Simeone must absolutely love.
Yeah.
I mean, both him and Godin, I think, together made something like 20 clearances in that match. And it's like, that seems right.
Yeah, I think Godin made 10 clearances. Jimenez made 9, I want to say. Yeah,
somewhere in that region.
Between them, they made 19 clearances. If Lucas hadn't been so good, we'll talk about him. I think Jimenez was outstanding, and again it shows he's just continuing to put his head down and work, and He has yet to nail down that regular spot that we think he or Lucas should next to Godin. But when he's out there, he's, this season in particular, he's just been excellent. And he's really, really grown up. He's not making nearly the kinds of errors that he used to make.
Yeah, he is looking a bit more disciplined this season. He's not kind of running out into the middle of the field or rushing out to try to make a last-ditch tackle. He's being a little bit more composed in moments where Atleti are sort of under pressure, as they do tend to be once they go 1-0 up.
Yeah, yes. Speaking of a guy who didn't really crack under the pressure, how about Lucas Hernandez?
Lucas, oh, man.
Marvelous game. My mattress maker of the match shut down Ibi Alejo, who had been Eibar's star man this season, really the man key to turning around their fortunes, helping them win 6 of the last 7 in La Liga. Alejo didn't even make it past halftime.
No, I mean, he absolutely dominated him on that left side. He couldn't get anything going. He was stuffing him in challenges and going in strong when he needed to. I mean, it really was fantastic, and you could clearly see the frustration on his face.
Yeah.
Right before halftime, he was like, I am tired of dealing with this man.
Yeah, former Canteranos going at it there, because both Atleti Academy grads. And then
probably Alejo, why they went in so hard on each other.
Alejo came off, Oriata came on, didn't do too great until the very end when he supplied a couple chances. But yeah, other than that, this was just fantastic from Lucas, who made 10 tackles, 7 of which were successful. Just his positioning, his speed, his intelligence, just all on display here, and he's not even really a left back.
He's not, but if you need sort of a more defensive-minded left back, because Felipe a lot of the time will be most in the opposition half, but Lucas is quite good if he's doing most of the defensive duties. He's excellent because he is a natural center half. He was fantastic.
Yep. He was, again, my mattress maker of the match. He was really, really quite good. Atleti really, really do miss Felipe in their attacking sense, but Lucas has always been there defensively to replicate what the Brazilian has. Just not from an attacking standpoint, but luckily Atleti haven't desperately needed that yet.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't want Felipe to be gone too much longer, but in the meantime, Lucas is more than good enough to be a backup.
Yeah, definitely. Jan Oblak made a couple really awesome saves at the very end of this game that helped keep the clean sheet. That is his 12th clean sheet of the season already. He's conceded 8 goals. He's on track to win another Zamora Trophy. It'll only be his third in 4 years since joining Atletico. No big deal.
And, I mean, he just makes everything look easy. It is marvelous every week to watch Jan Oblak. I mean, extremely dangerous chances he just calmly grabs and holds, and even though you're freaking out, he never seems to particularly get rocked.
No, the guy is never frazzled, and his technique is just, his fundamentals are so great. It just makes, as you said, it makes it look so easy. Really difficult saves look really easy.
Yeah, it makes his fundamentals every shot are so that they good. Took, it made it look like it was hit directly at him. And some of them were, but his positioning is so good, it makes it look like it's that way.
Yeah, he's really good. He's like the best goalkeeper on the continent and stuff.
He's excellent. He's pretty really good.
Tomas came back in, started this game, played all 90 minutes. First time he'd done that in 2018. Didn't really like his first half, but second half he was everywhere. He's like a whirling dervish.
Yeah, he was quiet in the first half, but as you say, second half he really stepped up when Eibar kind of turned the screw on us a little bit. He was there in the midfield to make a lot of interceptions. He was pretty dominant in that match. I was very impressed by him in the second half. He was very necessary.
Yeah, he really dug in.
That clean sheet.
He really dug in. And the French Connection, of course, supplying the only goal. Griezmann was kind of quiet. First half I liked, though, because he was playing in a relatively free role. Second half, he was a bit more restricted, and he wasn't as good. But he did set up Gamero's goal, and of course, as we talked about, Kevin Gamero now has as many league goals as Cristiano Ronaldo.
Huzzah, yes. Well, Griezmann's assist was extremely unselfish and extremely good, I thought. And as you say, he did have kind of a free role in that first half, which I think is sort of preparing for the matches when he's going to be playing alongside Costa.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. It was really a 4-4-1-1 in that first half, because Griezmann was really just all alone behind Gamero, just kind of roaming around. Second half, it was much more 4-4-2, and he didn't really... I mean, he came off on 75 minutes, mostly to get him some rest ahead of the Copa midweek, but also because he just wasn't as influential.
Yeah, and that it doesn't suit him, plainly, if he's going to be the main target. But when he's playing in that free role, he's excellent, and you see his quality, and it just makes you more excited to see him and Costa play together a lot more, because those two together work a lot better than Gamero, because as decent as Gamero can be, Costa is much better at holding up the ball. That's one of his main strengths, and when you have a player that can do that, and then you have Griezmann, who's kind of a slight technical player, it's an excellent combination, which we saw last week, and hopefully we'll see in the coming weeks as well.
So you're telling me Fernando Torres is not good at holding up the ball?
He's all right.
Yeah, let's talk about...
But they didn't get to play together today against Ibar.
Let's talk about things that didn't work in this game. Simeone's substitutes. I didn't get any of them. The Carrasco one, okay, that's an attacking change. It's like for like, because Correa was really not good in this game. Completed 15% of his passes.
Yeah, Correa was not good, except for that third-minute shot. That was about the whole of what he missed in that match.
Which he missed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Carrasco came on. He basically just ran around for, like, 45 minutes. Augusto got away with a handball in the box at the very end. I'm pretty sure it was a handball.
It was.
And Torres came on, and I don't see what Torres offers anymore. I'm sorry, I just don't. He doesn't offer anything, especially when he's not out there with a Griezmann or a Gamero. Like, he just slows everything and everyone down.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a goal, I understand bringing him on, but really, in this scenario, I didn't particularly get it. Though, granted, I don't know who else you would have brought on in this match in particular. I mean, you bring on, what, Juan Fran to play as an ultra-defensive winger? I mean, that would be super Simeone, but...
Juan Fran was really the only other defensive player he had at his disposal.
Right. And then two youngsters.
It seems like Juan Fran is going to be the cup right back.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, he could have brought in Vitolo, but I didn't really see the point in risking him for this one.
I don't think he wanted to waste him. Or not waste him, I don't think he wanted to use him.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Especially with Sevilla midweek.
Yeah, I mean, Torres and Carrasco created that one chance that I actually thought Torres probably should have scored. It was really shortly after Torres came on, and it was as a result of Ibar kind of going to sleep and getting counterattacked, and Torres just kind of missed. Which he will do, that is one of his things. But yeah, other than that, they did a grand total of nothing.
They really did. And
Torres had that one really like terrible shot on like 78 minutes that just went absolutely nowhere, and he probably should have passed. But yeah, not great.
I think the saving grace in Simeone's substitutions, none of which worked at like to any degree, is that you got Vitolo a full day off, so he will be ready to go. He's going to start Wednesday, apparently. We'll talk about that later. But Vitolo will be all set to go. Juan Fran, assuming he starts, will be all set to go. Felipe is training again. He hasn't been cleared yet, but he's training. So he may be fit for Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you'll have Savage back, and you'll have Gabby back. So it did offer a couple guys a bit more rest. And Griezmann came off early. Gamero came off early, and just in case they're both needed. Well, Griezmann obviously is going to start, but just in case Gamero is needed.
Right.
So in the end, it worked out. It just really wasn't pretty at all.
It was a poor game overall. Ugh. But, especially the substitutes were not great. But there aren't that many options, really. It is what it is, I guess.
But it's 3 points, and we're now halfway through the season. Atleti are still 9 points back of Barcelona. We're halfway through the season, which is a pretty good time to reflect on where Atletico are. Second place in La Liga is really good. It seems like the title is going to evade Atleti's grasp again, just because I think Barca are cut above everyone else this season. Only team in Europe that hasn't lost yet. But second place is excellent. They lost only once. They're not scoring many goals, but they're not conceding any. The fewest goals conceded in La Liga, once again, on pace to let in just 16 this season, Atletico are.
Which is just ridiculous.
It's just silly. It's just silly, and especially because their defense hasn't been outstanding this season, especially compared to passing. It's still been really, really good, but Oblak has been called upon much more than he was in the past.
I think our only hope, realistically, is at the title, is that Barcelona get distracted by the Champions League and slip up.
I mean, it happened a couple years ago. In 2015-16, Barca had a huge lead, let it slip, and Atleti knocked him out of the Champions League, and the title race went down to the final day.
That's right. That's right.
No, it's happened before.
It's possible. It is definitely possible.
But it just with how they've played and with how the job Valverde has done there, it just looks... Right now, it's really hard to imagine them losing three times, which is what Atleti need them to do. Atleti have to go to Camp Nou and win the head-to-head, and they need Barca to lose two more times outside of that.
Yeah, that's true.
While holding off Valencia.
Those are three very unlikely things to happen.
Yeah, and they need to hold off Valencia and probably Real Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid will be coming back,
You gotta think they'll be better, right?
They've missed so many chances. Surely, at some point their luck will turn around, which is kind of a bit scary. But I think being in second place halfway through the season, there is absolutely nothing to complain about from that point.
No, I think from here on out, you just do as well as you can in La Liga. That's second place, and that's still a great season.
Mm.
And then
go deep in the Copa.
Yeah, you have two chances to win a trophy. I mean, they're very much alive in the Copa, and they're the favorites to win Europa League.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's definitely a chance for a really for some silverware. Definitely a chance for a really good season here.
Yeah. The chance is very much still there, and they've been decent in La Liga. I mean, there have been some excruciatingly boring matches, but recently they've been pretty good, excluding the loss to Espanyol. Yeah, I mean, the thing is that Real Sociedad match, Barcelona, when they were 2-0 down, that was sort of the moment. If they had lost that game, then that would have changed the whole landscape of La Liga.
Yeah, I think that would have reopened a title race of some sort. But that was really Barca's last test, and they passed it with flying colors. I just, based on how they played so far this season, I don't think anyone's going to stop them.
It doesn't seem likely, unless Espanyol want to do us a favor and beat them.
They never do.
Yeah, that's true. Which
they never
the ultra underdog.
And Espanyol have already beaten Atletico this season. Mm, so they're definitely not going to do us any favors.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I don't see it happening.
But, you know, it's still a good place to be.
Yes.
Still within some kind of shouting distance, I guess. Not exactly shouting distance, but close to it.
Yeah.
You're the best of the rest. And for Atletico, that's big. That's important.
Well, and as well, it seems at this point that Champions League football is essentially locked up.
Presuming
Atletico don't absolutely fall off a cliff.
Yeah, Atletico are 11 points clear of Villarreal with a big goal difference advantage, and they're even farther ahead of Sevilla.
That's right, and at some point, you'd imagine without Bakambu, Villarreal are going to feel that in the coming weeks, I'd imagine. So I think that top four group is just going to pull away even further from the rest.
You never know with fourth place. That team currently in fourth place right there.
Well, I would certainly love it to see them in the Europa League next season. I mean, that would be the best. Oh, man.
All right.
But, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the Copa now. Let's switch gears a little bit. Atleti are playing Sevilla on Wednesday at the Wanda Metropolitano. This is a really good time to catch Sevilla because Sevilla are in free fall.
It could not be any better.
It really couldn't. We shouldn't overlook Sevilla, underestimate them, even though Atletico don't often struggle against them. This is a team that has talent in it. This is a team with a lot of options, a lot of talent, especially in attack. But they just, to quote Richard Pryor, they just can't get the shit right.
No, they really can't. when you look at this squad of Sevilla as compared to their squads in past years, this is probably one of their weakest.
It is. Yeah, but that's not to say it's not talented, but they've had much stronger squads than this.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And with Nzonzi being frozen out to start the season, that has hurt them, I think. Yeah, they're not doing well, but like you say, this is the best time to play them. And of course, Atletico get the hardest quarterfinal draw of anyone.
yeah.
But, you know.
It's definitely the most interesting, I think, because Real Madrid and Leganés, we know how that's going to end.
Yes.
Barcelona and Espanyol is going to be bad for Espanyol.
Yes.
And then Alaves and Valencia, that could be decent, but I think Valencia will probably pull away there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. With these two leg ties, I don't really see how Alaves or Espanyol or Leganés could really do much.
No. I mean, if there's any upset that's to be had here, it's probably Sevilla, you'd think. But Sevilla have been terrible lately.
Yeah, and even that's not a massive upset if you look at the other ties as well. I mean, I think probably outside of Atletico, I think Alaves maybe have the best chance of knocking off Valencia, but
yeah,
I think that's still a far cry.
I think so. But yeah, definitely, it's still very unlikely. But again, this is a really good time to be catching them. Again, they have not won in La Liga in 5. They progressed pretty easily against Cadiz. They beat them 4-1 in aggregate, but they are in the second division. They did progress pretty easily, but those are their only 2 wins since December 2nd, I think.
Which is nothing to write home about.
Yeah, those 2 games against Cadiz were their only wins since they beat Depor on December 2nd.
And Depor aren't even that good, so...
They're in the relegation zone.
They've been on a very poor run.
Yeah, the last time they beat like a team that was like any good was Villarreal at the end of November.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a good time to play them. I don't know how seriously they're going to take it, given their free fall in the league. Maybe they see it as a chance to put a bright spot on this season. I don't really know. I don't know what Montella is going to do with their lineup. It'll be interesting to see if he's going to go full guns blazing against Atleti.
Yeah, I think he's got to start Pablo Sarabia. Or Sarabia has to play a major role. He's like Sevilla's best player, and he's on the bench most weeks. The same with Joaquin Correa.
Yes, exactly.
And I love Joaquin Correa.
He
never plays enough.
We also get to see the return of Vitolo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that second leg, I'm going to fear for his safety.
Well, and we remember, I think we talked about it early in the year, we were like, oh, thank goodness we play Sevilla away from home to start the season, so Vitolo won't have to go there, but here we find ourselves.
Now he's going to go there twice.
Oh, yes. It is going to be fun.
Yeah. So, Simeone has pretty much picked his 11, according to reports. Oblak in goal, of course. Godin and Savic, the center back pairing with Juanfran and Lucas at the fullbacks. I think that's still kind of dependent on Felipe's status. Again, Felipe is back in full training, but he hasn't been cleared yet. So for now, Lucas is the starter. Gabby and Saul with Koke and Vitolo on the wings, and then Costa and Griezmann up top. Pretty good team.
Yeah, I think that team is certainly good enough to beat this Sevilla team, especially at home. And
yeah,
I think,
in this form.
You know, I don't think this first leg will be exactly that interesting. I think Simeone's probably going to err on the side of conservatism, but yeah, we'll see. I could see them getting out of that match with a 1-0. I mean, I think that would be ideal.
So you're going with 1-0 at Leti?
I think so, yeah. I think that's even though that is kind of our standard result, I think that's probably the most likely for a two-legged sort of thing.
I'm picking 2-0. I'm being a little confident here.
Oh, okay.
Not cocky, but a little confident. I mean, Sevilla are just in such a disastrous state right now. This is not the team you want to be playing if you're Sevilla.
True.
No, you much rather would want to play Alaves, although they did lose to Alaves. So either way, this isn't good for them. Either way, I find it really hard to believe they're going to get much out of the first leg or much out of this tie. It's just a bad matchup for them. They've already lost at the Wanda Metropolitano this year. Yeah, it's just, I think Atleti are the favorites, and I think they're the somewhat clear favorites. That doesn't mean you can overlook Sevilla, and I don't think they will.
No, I don't think Simeone will underestimate them just because of some recent bad form. I think you still have to take them seriously, because they do have good players.
But yeah, they're just in such bad form. They've let in 14 goals the last 6 weeks in La Liga.
Yeah, they can't really defend.
No, they can't really they can't always score
up
either.
The brick wall, so... Yeah, I don't know how well that's going to go. Yeah, I mean, they've scored 5 less goals than Atleti, which is sad.
Yeah, but they've let in 20 more.
Yeah, exactly.
20. So,
therein lies the problem.
Yeah. All right, well, that's Wednesday evening at the Wanda Metropolitano. Second leg is next week at the Pizjuan. And I wonder what odds we can get on Bitolo making it out of there alive.
There will be a lot of whistling. I would bet on lots of whistling.
I think probably a little more than just whistling.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That stadium, you know, at the best of times has a good atmosphere, but I think it may be a tad hostile.
What else you got, man?
I think that's it.
All right, super. Well, we are going to get on out of here. Patrons, stay tuned for your bonus rumor roundup. But in the meantime, for you non-patrons, that's Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to Culture Narrow Chat on your podcasting platform of choice. That includes iTunes. So if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review to help drive up eyeballs, drive up listens, and so on and so forth. If you're not on Patreon and you want to support the podcast, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/culturenarrowchat. Lots of cool benefits, lots of cool rewards, including the rumor roundup pods we talk so much about. patreon.com/culturenarrowchat. We will be back this week or next. We'll let you know. Until then, adios.